Babe, did you see that Moto Casino is giving a $1,776,000 worth of prizes?
That's why they're called America's Social Casino, celebrating the birth of America bigger than anyone else.
You can win incredible experiences at NASCAR and F1 races and a grand prize of 1 million sweeps coins.
So what are you waiting for? Spin now on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
This might be a win for Sean Diddy Combs in all of these civil cases he's got going on with attorney Tony Busby. Well, actually, it is a big win.
I didn't think I'd ever hear that sentence again.
Right? We're going to be talking about this for a long time, but right now, well, Texas attorney Tony Busby has been that big guy behind all of these civil cases for Sean Diddy Combs. And the most recent headline to come out of this was that Sean Diddy Combs' legal team was like, listen, this dude's not even licensed in New York. He can't even represent all of his clients that are supposed to be going to court in New York. Like, we need this to be dismissed, or we need a different lawyer to be able to take on these cases. And Tony was like, no, like, I can get special permission to be able to do this in New York. You're allowed to do it at least once. Like, you can get special permission to do it if you're not licensed in a state. But apparently, he was wrong, because now Tony Busby is withdrawing from representing plaintiffs in 15 sex trafficking lawsuits against Sean Diddy Combs in New York's Southern District because he's not licensed to do so, despite the fact that he said, I'm going to be able to do it. He's not going to be able to do it.
Yeah, so New York was like, ha, 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 listen, Texas boy, nah, nah.
You know they love that.
But basically, he's not giving up these cases. There's just going to be a different attorney that's going to take them on. So they'll be pushed off to different New York-based law firms, and he's still going to be taking on any case that he is licensed to be able to do so in whatever state. But this is kind of a big deal for Sean Diddy Combs, because I feel like Tony Busby has been so highly publicized in this case that I feel like, you know, they're just going to get like some random to take it on, that it might not have as big star power to be able to take on these cases and come out winning.
This is the kind of thing that even if Diddy is set free next week, judge comes in and says, not enough evidence, go free. He's still done. He's still done. Even if a judge says, you know what, I'm throwing everything out. He's so radioactive now. In the court of public opinion, people will associate him with the accusations for the rest of his life.
In the court of public opinion, I feel like he's definitely done. But I wouldn't be shocked if he were to be set free if people in the industry still affiliated themselves with him.
For sure.
Really?
No, yeah. I wouldn't be shocked at all.
Just because of power?
Yep. 1,000%.
Well, the tough thing about him, if he, like, let's say he does get released, which I do not see happening, I feel like he would, the rest of his life, he's going to be fighting his entire reputation. He'd probably take the other women to court. It would be a series of defamation lawsuits trying to clear his name. And then by that point, he's going to be like 70 years old. And then, like, really, what's the point of having a good reputation in the court of public opinion when you just need to retire at that point?
Yeah.
So Diddy is done. Somebody who is not done, though, is Millie Bobby Brown, because she has really been speculated that she is going to be the star of the Britney Spears biopic that is getting made. She has this bleach blonde hair now, which I know she has a role that she currently just finished up rapping with Chris Pratt, where she has blonde hair. But people think that she dyed her hair blonde specifically so that she embodies that Britney Spears look. And on top of that, every time I've seen her do some kind of interview recently promoting that movie with Chris Pratt, she's wearing some kind of outfit that's a nod to the 90s. Hmm. She was wearing an outfit that was kind of a nod to Fran Drescher in The Nanny. And then there was an outfit where she looked like she was dressing up as Drew Barrymore from, I think, 50 First Dates or something like that. So people think she is really campaigning hard for this role.
I don't think it should be Millie. You and I were talking about this artist the other day, Tate McRae.
You think Tate McRae should be Britney Spears?
I do.
Absolutely not.
What do you think?
Well, first of all, I think Tate McRae really wants to separate herself from that Britney Spears brand. Like, I think she wants to be Tate McRae, despite the fact that she has so many similarities to Britney as an artist. Mm-hmm. I want some random nobody who has been working their tail off to become an actress, and I want this to be their big break. I want them to look like Britney and act like Britney. I hope they're like a Southern actress or something, because as much as I love Millie Bobby Brown, every time I see her in a role, I go, that's Millie Bobby Brown. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be really tough to watch Millie Bobby Brown play Britney Spears if she ends up getting the role, which she says she's not confirmed to do so.
I know that I think, you know, everything's in the talks. But for me personally, I, you know, if it's done, you know, basically, if with or without me, I am so, so, so excited for it. And I think it's going to be a brilliant story with a brilliant, you know, core, which is Britney.
So it's like she's doing Britney's bad English accent.
Honestly, maybe picking a British actress might be the most on-brand thing for a Britney Spears biopic. But yeah, I want a nobody. I want a nobody who's a good dancer, who's a little Southern, that has that Britney Spears energy, but doesn't remind me of another A-list actress, a.k.a. Millie Bobby Brown. All right, Kanye West is looking to get canceled again, and this time he's coming after Beyonce and Jay-Z's youngest kids. I'll tell you what he tweeted about them on your next E-Buzz on the Burt Show.
He's tweeting about kids.
Oh, is it?
Uh-huh.
And it's, y'all haven't seen it?
It's heinous. Ooh. Like, it is, he crossed the line.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's crossed quite a few lines up until this point, but he I didn't think he was going to go this far.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's Entertainment Buzz.
Just when you think Kanye West can't get worse, he does. And it all has to do with these latest tweets he put out about Jay-Z and Beyonce's twins, Rumi and Sir. Now, I'm not going to use the exact language that he used to describe these two seven-year-olds.
So before we even get into that, can you, Mo, give us the history between Jay-Z and Kanye, because it used to be tight.
Oh, yeah. That's a, man, that history is very, very, very flawed. But so they were like brothers, at least as they considered each other brothers, or at least it seemed, when Jay-Z initially brought Kanye onto Rockefeller Records, which was owned by Dame Dash and partially Jay-Z. And at that time, Kanye was producing most of the beats for all of the artists on Rockefeller, including Jay-Z. And they seemed to have a really good relationship. At some point, Kanye stopped looking at Jay-Z as a big brother and a mentor who brought him into the game. And I think he somewhat started looking at him as competition. And I think Kanye wanted to really do his own thing. And at that, Jay realized that it may be best for them to separate a little bit. And Kanye saw that as, you are disowning me, or you are not being loyal to me. You're leaving me out here to fend for myself. And I think between that and then Kanye losing his mom, Kanye just went to a completely different direction and would do anything for attention. And if you know anything about Jay-Z, he's always tried to separate himself from people like that. And I think that's when their relationship was pretty much spoiled.
He just wants to mind his business.
Yep.
So Kanye obviously doing the exact opposite, because one of his most recent tweets is about his kids, the seven-year-old twins, Rumi and Sir. And he called them the R word and talked about and questioned their mental capacity. I'll just put it in those kinds of terms. And basically blamed it on the fact that they were conceived via artificial insemination. So then he deletes the tweet. He takes it down and said that he felt bad about it. But then he circles back and he's like, I regret taking it down, .. My Twitter is a one-way conversation, which to me just says I can't take any accountability whatsoever.
Yeah, I almost feel like this is a game he's playing. And maybe I'm just really naive. I just don't think that people authentically are this mean. I know he's really, really disturbed, but I also know that I think he gets drunk by the attention. It doesn't matter if it's negative or not. So I'm trying to like not get upset by him, because I think that's what he wants.
Mm.
So I think all of this is, if not calculated, is just coming from a very disturbed person. And for me, I'm not giving into the loathing or hating anymore, because I think that's what he wants.
Yeah, I really honestly don't think there's anything wrong with Kanye. I think at some point, you know, the mental health thing was understandable to see as maybe that's why he's at this point, though. I think Kanye has figured out that every time he says something like this, people pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
His followers go up. He becomes the top of the news cycle with every media outlet. And I think he does not care about the repercussions so long as he's being talked about, and that's all he cares about, and it works every time. And until people literally just stop paying him any mind, he's going to continue to do it.
I actually think it's very disrespectful to those who have a mental illness to blame it on his mental illness. Like, that will explain the behavior, but it definitely does not excuse the behavior. And so I feel at this point in time, it's like, dude, you need to start taking accountability for your actions and what you're saying. But here's the thing. He's not, because he doesn't care. So if he doesn't care, then I feel like the only thing that the only power we have is not caring about him.
I think it was Logan Paul in the trailer for his new TV show says that we don't live in a society that values likes anymore. We value being talked about. And it doesn't matter if you're liked or not. You just want to be talked about. And I think nobody's better than that right now. Well, I can think of one person, but mostly Kanye.
Yeah, he's chasing relevancy. And it's not just like these one-off tweets. Like, it's not like he has all of these great tweets and then all of a sudden it's like this random thing about the twins. He's also talking about the Kardashians, obviously his ex-family. He's calling them sex workers and he's accusing them of sex trafficking, which is rich because apparently, according to TMZ, Kim Kardashian had to end a visit with Northwest and Kanye West after learning that Andrew and Tristan Tate were on their way to their location. And if you know anything about them, they have human trafficking charges. So it's insane.
After what he said about Jay-Z and Beyonce's kids, knowing them, they pretty much are tight-lipped and don't respond to anything. Is this going to be the case with this, you think?
I personally don't think Jay-Z and Beyonce will give this any attention.
Really?
I don't think
Even
so.
Even though it's about their kids?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I feel like they have kind of learned the mastery of if they address it, then it gets even more publicity and people talk about it more. Mm-hmm. But if they don't, then eventually people will be on to something different.
Yeah, you give them too much power if you respond to it.
But yeah, that's the thing about trolls is this is what they want. You know, forget about a Kanye level. Even the trolls online, the trolls in your family, they want this so much. They want to know it's bothering you and they want you to respond so badly. And if you don't, they just go away.
Yep.
Aubrey Plaza's late husband's final text to her was sent 3 hours before his passing. I'll reveal what his last words to her were on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's The Burt Show's Entertainment Buzz.
I'm going to give a light kid warning here because we're not going to get graphic or dirty, but we are going to mention some adult content here because Ellen Pompeo, the star of Grey's Anatomy, went on Alex Cooper's podcast, the Call Her Daddy podcast, and she said there was actually one scene, an intimate scene, between her and her co-star T.R. Knight that brought them both to tears. They both cried after completing the love scene.
T.R. and I are such good friends. Mm-hmm. And we had to do a love scene. And we were both crying. We cried. And the scene was so uncomfortable and awkward. And he didn't want to do that. I didn't want to do it. And when we filmed it, it was so bad. And then the network said there was too much thrusting. In your worst nightmare to have to do it one time, we had to reshoot that.
No.
We had to reshoot it and do it twice.
No.
I was a loyal watcher of Grey's Anatomy back in the day. So I remember when George was on the show, George O'Malley was on the show. I don't have any recollection of the, was it like a drunken moment or something?
So I have never completed Grey's Anatomy. I'm a hypochondriac. So anytime I would watch Grey's Anatomy, I always felt like every other episode, somebody had an aneurysm and I get chronic migraines. So then I started thinking my migraines were aneurysms. And so then as good as Shonda Rhimes is, work was, I had to put it down because it was not healthy for me.
Gotcha.
But
I don't recall this either because he was like kind of like everybody's friend on the show.
That's why when I heard, I was like, oh, I had to Google who T.R. Knight was. I was like, George O'Malley.
Yeah, that was early.
Meredith and George hook up. And I do think it happened like in the first or second season. And it must have been some kind of like drunken thing that they had to do. But I mean, we all have friends that are our coworkers and having to put yourself in that situation once is bad enough. But then having to go back a second time with the feedback that you've gotten from people that you know have watched it the first time around and you have that like swirling around in your head. You couldn't pay me enough money. And then I found out that she made $20 million a year on that show. I was like, yeah, you could. You absolutely could pay me enough money.
Yeah, well, but this was early on in the show.
Yeah.
So I don't know what she was making in those first couple of seasons. I don't, like she even has to start crying while they're doing it because I don't remember this scene.
Me neither. And I was a big time fan of that show.
Yes. Literally traumatizing. Yeah. And I read somewhere that Patrick Dempsey, her love interest on that show, who, I mean, obviously it's Grey's Anatomy. It's named after Meredith Grey, the lead. He was making more than her on that show for a long time. And so on this podcast, she actually talks about what a big deal it was when she finally got her $20 million a year pay raise. And her representatives were like, are you ready to be hated? Because people hate it when women make money. So she said that was a struggle, but she absolutely deserved it because she has been carrying that show. Season after season after season. Every time I see that there's a new season coming out, I'm like, I thought this show ended like 5 years ago. Like, we're still going.
Yeah. So it was season two when Meredith and George did it. And I have no recollection of that whatsoever. And that's neither. When I was watching it back in its heyday.
Well, as much as I love money, Tina Fey does not. So Tina Fey recently went on Amy Poehler's new podcast, Good Hang with Amy Poehler. And she brought up something interesting about how she feels about celebrities having multiple side projects other than their main source of income.
I do kind of hate money. I'm terrible with money. Only in that I'm like,
you are not terrible.
No, I'm not terrible. I don't waste money, but I don't get excited about money. If I'm safe and I have enough money to live, I have a problem with rich people having a side hustle.
Yeah. What do you mean, like a podcast or something?
No, this is you're doing work. I'm saying if you sold like, where would my line be for you? Where would I draw the line?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, if I had a rosé.
I think she means, like, money grabs. Things that feel like you're not an expert on cologne. You're not an expert on rosé. And yet here I am supposed to just buy it from you because you're Hailey Bieber. And Hailey Bieber has
hair
a skincare
products,
line.
Cosmetics.
Tequila.
Blake Lively with the hair care line.
You don't have any real passion about it, any expertise. You're just putting your brand on it and making money.
You're just becoming the face of the brand, but you don't actually know anything. I shouldn't really be trusting you. I know you have a team of experts that are making you the face of the brand, but you're not actually the person that knows the most about tequila.
I've got taste buds and my tequila tastes very good is what they're saying.
No, literally, like, this is a this one comes in a fun bottle. And if you love tequila that comes in a fun bottle and you also love margaritas, then buy my tequila.
But maybe that's why George Clooney and Cindy Crawford's husband, that's what I'm going to refer to him as because I can't remember his name.
Gerber, Randy Gerber?
I think you're right. I think that's why their tequila, Casamigos, did so well because they actually did care about tequila and love it. Like, they went to Mexico. They toured the... What field?
Agave fields?
There you go. I'm like, there's a field that you make tequila from, but I don't know what it is because I'm allergic to it.
Okay.
I have no
the
idea.
The tequila cacti. I don't know. Right? What's it made out of?
Agave sounds right. Yeah, I think she's right.
The actual agave is tequila?
Yes. Yeah. It's made from agave.
Okay. Then they toured the agave plants or whatever, and they were very hands-on, and I think they were very passionate, which is why it's now like a freaking billion-dollar business.
So because they went to Cancun once on a boys' trip. We're just supposed to trust that Casamigos was Tulum. For more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
You're on the Burt Show.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Moto Casino.